The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
When I wanted usefulness, it wasn't hard to find. I gave three frauds a lifetime gig. Then when I needed lawlessness, they slowed the clocks on crime. It's why I stacked the court so it was rigged. Immunity is such a lovely word, something that they must pursue. Immunity is ready to be heard, and something that they know and do. I can always twist someone to say they empathize. Surely I have groomed them to deceive. So now it is the time and place to confirm my mega lies. All they have to do is make believe. Immunity is such a lovely word, something that they must pursue. Immunity is ready to be heard, and something that they know and do. They would soon discover it was not pretend. I plan to have impunity until the very end. I'm sure they will remember me when I meet them again. I'll call. When I expected loyalty, there wasn't much concern. Having always played them like a pawn. So when I asked for fealty, I knew they'd never let me burn. 'Cause they're the ones that I depended on.
Make me barf.
Immunity is such a lovely word, something that they must pursue. Immunity is ready to be heard, and something that they know and do.
Oh, that is Don Karen of the Parody Project, who turned that one around really quickly. It just went live, excuse me, in like the last 20 minutes or so. So good on him for the effort. I don't know. I think it's still too raw to be laughing at what happened this morning at the Supreme Court. You know, logical minds thought, myself included, thought that they would just wanted to put a period at the end of the sentence and say, of course, there's no such thing as absolute immunity. Of course, what he's suggesting here is absurd. He's trying to, he's just, you know, and if you had seen some of the commentary, I don't remember who I read, but from a couple of different sources, I heard them say, you know what, they know they're going to lose at the Supreme Court. That's okay, because they've already won. They won this slow walking, the decision to prevent the January 6th case from going to trial before November 5th. And what happened today is those bought and paid for, I'm trying to figure out what word to use, people sitting on the Supreme Court appointed by the former guy are earning their keep. Although I gotta give props to Amy Coney Barrett, even though I can't stand listening to her voice. She actually seemed to be on the side of the awakened, the awoke, the woke, which is not a bad word. It just means that you're awake to the shit in this world, and the shit, at least five of them, are sitting on that Supreme Court. Oh, my goodness. So I have some clips. I've got some audio to share with you from today. And I'm not, you know, I'm not exactly sure where to begin, because it, why wasn't this showing up there? Okay. So maybe we start, you know what, I'm going to start with, there's so much news today, by the way. Howie Klein will be along at the bottom of the hour, as he is every Thursday. And he just posted a big piece. Yes, Lisa Graves called them politicians in robes. That's the most apt description of them if you're trying to remain above the fray. But I don't remain above the fray. I call them out for what they are. They're whores. They're whores. Or as they say in New York, hooas. Yeah, with Clarence Thomas being the whorest of them all. What a piece of shit he is. And don't tell me that's dehumanizing. So let me tell you, we were going to talk about the Supreme Court today. We're also going to talk about well, it's not really the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court in Arizona fucked up by putting this antediluvian law back on the books from 1864. But the Arizona House of Representatives yesterday, finally, I think on their fourth attempt, voted it down, right? So it still has to go to the Senate and then go to the governor. I think the Senate will repeal it as well. And the governor, of course, Katie Hobbs, will sign it. But make no mistake, it wasn't like the Republicans in the Arizona House of Representatives finally came to their senses. Three of the Republicans and all of the Democrats in the Arizona House voted to kill this ban on women controlling our own bodies. Three of them, just so you know. Don't be charitable towards the Republicans, because they don't deserve it. But we also have to applaud Chris Mayes. Now, I knew a Chris Mayes in my radio career. This is not that Chris Mayes. This Chris Mayes is the Attorney General of Arizona, who yesterday announced indictments of the Arizona fake electors. And by the way, the fake electors came up in the Supreme Court today, and Alito and Thomas and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Roberts did not give one single shit. It's like they were on Trump's payroll doing his bidding at the high court. Unbelievable. So there's so much. The FTC we're going to talk about. The FCC. Net neutrality rules are back. Thank you, Joe Biden. Because of the people he put nominated to the FCC, to run the FTC. That's why airliners can no longer screw you over if they cancel your flight. lots of good stuff coming thanks to the presidential prowess of Joe Biden. But we have to begin today with what happened this morning at the Supreme Court. And so I'm going to open with, so the way it works, and usually the Supreme Court hearings go an hour. Today went almost three. And it started with I don't remember which one started first. I'm guessing the representative of the state, the lawyer whose name was Dreeben, who represented Jack Smith, represents the government, and the guy Sauer, who sounded like Bobby Kennedy, he was Trump's attorney. So that's who they are. Yeah, Rudy Caluti is in more trouble. We'll get there. We've got to start with the Supreme Court. So where we're going to begin, the first clip I'm going to play for you is Jack Smith's attorney, our attorney, as it were, Dreeben, who was finishing his opening remarks. And then he says, I'll take your questions. And the first questioner, of course, is Clarence Thomas, who shows you just who he is when he opens his mouth.
Treason, sedition, murder, and here conspiring to use fraud to overturn the results of an election and perpetuate himself in power. Hmm. Such presidential immunity has no foundation in the Constitution.
No foundation in the Constitution.
The framers knew too well the dangers of a king who could do no wrong. They therefore devised a system to check abuses of power, especially the use of official power for private gain. Here, the executive branch is enforcing congressional statutes and seeking accountability for petitioners' alleged misuse of official power to subvert democracy. That is a compelling public interest. In response, petitioner raises concerns about potential abuses, but established legal safeguards provide layers of protections, with the Article III courts providing the ultimate check.
Okay.
The existing system is a carefully balanced framework. It protects the president, but not at the high constitutional cost of blanket criminal immunity.
Hello.
That has been the understanding of every president from the framing through Watergate and up to today. This court should preserve it.
Yes, it
I
should.
Welcome the court's questions.
Well, welcome the questions. Okay, here's Clarence
Mr.
Thomas.
Mr. Dreeben,
Uncle Tom.
Does the president have immunity? Are you saying that there's no immunity, presidential immunity, even for official acts?
Yes, Justice yes. Thomas, but I think that it's important to put in perspective the position that we are offering the court today. The president, as the head of the Article II branch, can assert as applied Article II objections to criminal laws that interfere with an exclusive power possessed by the president or that prevent the president from accomplishing his constitutionally assigned functions. That is the constitutional doctrine that currently governs the separation of powers.
Hello.
What petitioner is asking for is a broad blanket immunity that
yeah,
will protect the president, a former president, from any criminal exposure absent impeachment and conviction, which has never happened in our history. And we submit that is not necessary in order to assure that the president can perform all of the important tasks that the Constitution reposes in him.
Certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations.
Only one
like Operation
has.
Mongoose.
Mongoose was not here. It was not
and
here.
Yet there were no prosecutions.
Oh my. Okay. So Clarence Thomas is pulling out some something that has nothing to do with things here in the United States, like a former president attempting to overturn a fair and free election, a president plotting to remain in office after he'd been voted out. Clarence Thomas said, in our history, there have been others who've participated in coups and similar things. Excuse me, Mr. Justice.
Bullshit.
That is bullshit. This Donald Trump is the first. Has so many firsts. We may have had people who were a little demented Ronald Reagan, unfit for office, George W. Bush. But Donald Trump is the first one to try to overthrow through nefarious means a fair and free election. Clarence Thomas doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And guess what? I don't have another single clip from him because he should not be there. He should have recused himself, or there should have been a mechanism to recuse him because of the actions of his wife, his best friend, don't you know? He should not be hearing any cases having to do with him or January 6th because his wife was complicit in the plot. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Would have been apropos to play right there to Clarence Thomas. Unbelievable. But and I don't know who was more disgusting. And I rattled off the five of them. Thomas, Alito, those two take the cake. But Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, I like beer. And Roberts, this is going to be his legacy. This is what he leaves us with. So, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio. Here's my take on what I think will be the outcome. They're going to send it back. They're going to send it back to a lower court so that to ensure that this case will not be heard before the election. Pure and simple. That's it. That's what they're doing. It's disgusting. Now, I mentioned Amy Coney Barrett. Surprised the hell out of me. So I'm going to play a clip for you. Listen to her. She's talking to Sauer. You'll hear his voice. He's the one who sounds like Bobby Kennedy, where the lawyer for the people, Dreeben, I had a hard time telling him apart from Elena Kagan. Frankly, I thought it was a woman when he started talking. He's got one of those upper-pitched voices and sounded kind of like Kagan, but it's okay. I got it. This is what happens when you don't have video. All we have is audio, and thank goodness we had the audio so we could hear it. All right, so here's, who's the bastard who praised Ford pardoning Nixon? Oh, Philip Collier in the chat room. Boy, do I have, that would be Alito. Alito, the piece of shit, Alito. We'll get to that. But I'm showing how magnanimous I am. This was Amy Coney Barrett who made me go, wow.
Ask you, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So you concede that private acts don't get immunity.
We do.
Okay.
In the special counsel's brief
on pages 46 and 47, he urges us, even if we were to decide or assume that there was some sort of immunity for official acts, that there were sufficient private acts in the indictment for the case to go back and the trial to begin immediately. And I want to know if you agree or disagree about the characterization of these acts as private. Petitioner turned to a private attorney, was willing to spread knowingly false claims of election fraud to spearhead his challenges to the election results. Private?
As alleged, I mean, we dispute the allegation, but of that course. Sounds private to me.
Sounds private.
Private.
Petitioner conspired with another private attorney who caused the filing in court of a verification signed by petitioner that contained false allegations to support a challenge.
Private. That also sounds private.
Three private actors, two attorneys, including those mentioned above, and a political consultant helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding, and petitioner and a co-conspirator attorney directed that effort.
You read it quickly. I believe that's
yes.
private.
Yes, you read it quickly.
So
you heard what
you
she
would
said.
Not dispute. Those were private, and you wouldn't raise a claim that they were official.
As characterized, what we would say, Your Honor, if I may, what we would say is official is things like meeting with the Department of Justice to deliberate about who's going to be the acting Attorney General of the United States.
Sure.
Communicating with the American public. Communicating with Congress about matters of enormous concern.
Thank you. Sir. Thank you.
Thank you. So that was Trump's lawyer saying, yeah, a lot of those things were private. And so here is... This was the sticking point, at least to my ears. They were trying to differentiate between, they all agreed, including Trump's lawyer, that private acts not official, not as part of his public duties as, at that point, the lame duck president, or a president at any point, that maybe there's a question. That's what they're going to send back down to the lower court, which is just inconceivable. But they agree that the private things he did for which he does not enjoy immunity. Well, so the trial should be able to go on that count, to go on about that. The lawyer Dreeben, he says, yes, they could do that, but that leaves out the key element in this case. Now, the right wing judges, the Trump cabal, didn't want to hear anything about it. They didn't want to talk substance. They didn't want to talk about any specifics. In fact, any time Dreeben, the lawyer for the government, started getting into specifics, Alito cut him off. He didn't want to hear it. He said, we're not talking about the specifics here. Well, why the fuck not? My goodness. So let me play a couple of clips. This one was wonderful. So I'm just going to randomly, as I see them, and if you have requests, you can call in 954-889-6410. I pulled a lot of audio. We're not going to get to all of it today, but remember, Marcy Wheeler is here tomorrow. And yes, so we'll get into this with Marcy as well. But listen to this one. And it's not so much even Dreeben's answer. And there were some who were opining that Kavanaugh might be the swing vote that the four female justices would opine on the correct side of history. And that it might be Kavanaugh and not Roberts, who is the fifth. Well, unfortunately, what it seems like is neither one will be the fifth. Yeah. Listen to what Kavanaugh said in this question.
Information that is intentionally and knowingly false.
Okay.
That would pollute the legislative
process. How about, I think it came up before, President Ford's pardon. Mm-hmm. Very controversial in the moment.
Yes.
Hugely unpopular, probably why he lost in 76.
Yeah.
Yes. Now looked upon as one of the better decisions in presidential history, I think.
What? Now looked upon as one of the better decisions in presidential history? Excuse me? That is some grade A, class A
bullshit.
Bullshit. In case you didn't hear it, let me go back and hear that again.
Better decisions in presidential history, I think, by most people.
Not by most people.
If he's thinking about.
If a Supreme Court justice can make up shit and say it from the bench and nobody challenge, really, where do most people? Really, Brett, where do you get this? You speak in facts? You speak in declarative statements? Back it up. I wish someone had, I guess the justices don't ask each other questions, but the lawyer should have said, excuse me, sir, where did you get that notion? Richard Nixon, the reason we're in this mess now is because Nixon was not held accountable for his crimes. Don't give this. The majority of us think this was a great decision. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
That is so, oh, God. Okay. Sorry. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I gotta play this. I'm not even gonna play the rest of that. Just the fact that Brett Kavanaugh said Ford's decision to pardon Richard Nixon, everyone was against at the time, but now most people think it was the right. It was one of the best presidential decisions ever made. In what universe? What color is the sky where you live? Oh my God. Well, Nixon resigned so he wouldn't be impeached. Unreal. Okay, so, let's see. Circular firing squad, create fraudulent. Okay, well, let's do this one. Sonia Sotomayor rocked it. You know, for all the calls for her to retire, stop it. We need her. Because she was great. So listen to these couple of exchanges. All right, start with number 8.
What is plausible about the president assisting in creating a fraudulent slate of electoral candidates?
Good question.
Assuming you accept the facts of the complaint on their face, is that plausible that would be within his right to do?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We have the historical precedent we cited in the lower courts of President Grant.
Hold on. So Sonia Sotomayor asked Trump's attorney Is it plausible? Because the question of it's plausible or probable, forget that even. Is it in the president's right to create a fraudulent slate of electors? And this guy says, absolutely.
To do?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We have the historical precedent we cited in the lower courts of President Grant sending federal troops to Louisiana and Mississippi in 1876 to make sure that the Republican electors got certified in those two cases, which delivered the election to Rutherford B. Hayes. The notion that is completely implausible, I think, just can't be supported based on the face of this indictment. Or even
knowing that the slate is fake.
Knowing that the slate is fake,
that they weren't actually elected, that they weren't certified by the state.
Hello?
He knows all those things.
The indictment itself alleges, I dispute that characterization, the indictment affixes the word label to the so-called fraudulent electors. It affixes the word fraudulent, but that's a complete mischaracterization. On the face of the indictment, it appears that there was no deceit about who had emerged from the relevant state conventions, and this was being done as an alternative basis.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Dis in the chat room says, Nicole, why did not the attorney for the U.S. ask Clarence why he was there and not recused? Is that a thing he could have asked but didn't? I don't think so, because I don't think the attorneys representing either side is allowed to question the justices. The justices question the attorneys. But someone needs to ask him that. Someone needs to ask John Roberts why he allowed this man to be on that bench, to hear that. Okay, and so you heard that one, right? So then Sonia Sotomayor follows it up with this.
Malum in se is a concept long viewed as appropriate in law, that there's some things that are so fundamentally evil.
Yes.
That they have to be protected against.
Yes. Now, like a political assassination of our political rival.
And your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say, if you stay by it, if the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he
is that within,
can get
is that
immunity?
Official?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and
it
why?
Could, what?
Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing
Are
it.
Are you kidding me?
At like President Obama is alleged to have done it.
Right.
To protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here? That he's not doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility. He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity, because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful
purpose. No, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible.
Yep.
How could that be?
That's an extremely strong doctrine in this court's case law in cases like Fitzgerald.
Well, we go back to Justice Thomas's question.
Yeah. Can you send SEAL Team 6 to go kill your political opponent? Apparently, according to this guy and what seems like five members of this extreme court, yeah, he could. He should be immune from that. And here's the thing. They won't even give the blanket, because if they did it today, if they said, okay, five of us believe that, yes, the president should have absolute immunity, some bullshit that Donald Trump made up, but sure, we'll go along with it because he's their orange god. Well, Joe Biden is president now. Joe Biden, according to this, could say, you know what? I'm dissolving the Supreme Court. I'm dissolving the Electoral College. Take me to court. Sue me. I can do whatever I want because I've got absolute immunity because I'm the president. I could not believe what I was listening to this morning. But we all heard it. You know, if there's anything that could knock Trump's pecker off the front pages, it's those travesties of justice. Oh my God, I don't know about you. I need like a triple Dirty Debbie today. Whose turn is it to mix them?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog Special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, man. Hi, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole.
So did you listen to any of the brilliant extreme court hearing this morning?
No, I'm not listening to the court stuff at all. I mean, I'm just like trying to ignore it as best I can. I just want to read when they say Trump is going to get guillotined or hung or something.
According to what I heard this morning, that's not going to happen. It's unbelievable. No. These, as I referred to them earlier, these whores on this extreme court who have sold themselves to Donald Trump and the billionaires whose bidding they do, they didn't give a shit. They don't care. They went, it seemed to go along with the idea that Trump could have his political rivals assassinated and it might be an official act for which he should have immunity.
No.
Yeah.
That's not happening. I know I don't watch a lot of it, but I did pay attention to that part.
Yeah, well,
it was always the same. This thing was going to always be the same from day one. They're not going to go along with one moment of any of that bullshit. They know they could never get away from it.
No, they're going to send it down.
And that would be the end of any kind of legitimacy that they could claim. What they're going to do instead is just drag it out and drag it out and drag it out. I mean, they should have ruled on this the day that it was brought and just said, no, you idiots, and that would have been it. But instead, they're just going to stall. They're just using it as stalling. They won't rule in his favor, not for one second.
No, but what they're going to do is send it back down to the lower court to determine what is an official act of the presidency and specify whether or not each individual act does deserve immunity. But they agree that the private acts that were not part of his public duties as president could be tried. But what they should do is just send, start the trial on those right now and then leave the other ones to decide later. But they won't. They're going to use this as an excuse to draw it out even longer so that this case, the Jackson Smith case, will not go to trial before the election.
That's right.
Just horrible. Just horrible. And the everyone from Kavanaugh to Gorsuch to Thomas to Alito to Roberts. I'll tell you, the only one from that side of the aisle that I was surprised about was Amy Coney Barrett, who actually made sense. I guess because abortion wasn't one of the questions today.
And you know what? She's even like coming around on that a little bit. Not a lot, but a little.
Yeah, I don't know. It's here. Here's Digby's tweet on it. After listening to the arguments, the consensus is there's no way the Supremes will just rule against immunity, right? The best case now is that they send it back. When will people stop assuming this court majority has any integrity and will do obviously the right thing?
I don't know anybody who assumes that.
Well, I don't either. But the New York Times, the press, the corporate mainstream press that thinks they have to, treat both sides as equals when they're not. So anyway, I noticed you got a post up at Down with Tyranny. Good news for us here in Arizona. Your post is titled, "Can Arizona Show Us That Crime Does Not Pay? Rudy Giuliani, Kelly Ward, etc. are about to find out." A lot of indictments handed down yesterday, but Donald Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator.
Yes, that's right.
Because I think that they figured if they want to get serious about really like meting out real justice to these people, they couldn't have that kind of a Trump circus.
Right, right. So put him aside. They can always charge him later. But Rudy...
Although they're counting on, you know, all the charges against him and all the other places, I think that's what they're, that's the way they're looking at it. And they'll just go after these, you know, basically, I think what they really want to go after are the Arizonans in this thing.
Good.
And, you know, and that would, I mean, if they could just get them, I'd be happy.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it would be nice if they also got, you know, Meadows and Giuliani and all the rest of them. But I'll be happy if they just get the Arizonans.
You know what? And I want Rudy charged already. He's been skating for too long. I get that he's broke and probably homeless at this point. But you know what?
No, he's not broke.
He
gave the money to his son.
Oh.
So he's plenty of money. The son is holding it. Now they're investigating the son now and him for that kind of maneuver. But believe me, he's a multimillionaire.
Oh, of course he is. Because he's a slime ball. I want to see him sitting on a defendant's table, and maybe Arizona will be the place where that happens.
He's charged with a lot of things already. He has a lot of charges against him. It'll take him years and years and years before he is, unless Trump is elected, of course, and pardons him. But otherwise, he'll be spending the rest of his life trying to defend himself.
Yeah. You know, with everything going on there, you know, I was glad to see when I saw the news yesterday about Chris Mays, the attorney general of the state of Arizona, handing down these indictments. It's like, yeah. And I heard some criticisms. Like, why did it take her so long? Well, she wasn't in office. There used to be a Republican attorney general. She got elected, you know, in 2022, I think. And, you know, give her a break. She's doing the job.
Did a very, very thorough job. I think I listened to her whole 5-minute video, which I posted it as well. And from what I've read of what she has done, I think she did a better job than any of the others.
Yeah. No, I'm really impressed. So, you know, I can't wait to dive into that one a little more because that's going to be a good one. But you know what, Howie, there was also, I don't want to let the bad overtake the good. A couple of really good things happened in the last 48 hours. Today, the FCC restored net neutrality, the rules that Trump put in, you know, did away with when he was in office. So there's that, although the internet has changed a lot in the time since then, but still, it's a move in the right direction, right?
Yeah.
The Federal Trade Commission says no more of those airline junk fees. They need to be up front. And if they cancel your flight, you get an immediate refund. It's about time consumers got some rights here.
I have a post coming up about that. In fact, this morning, I got up really, really early because I had to do a lecture. Although I did it, you know, online at my old school, Stony Brook, for Stephanie Kelton. So she has an interdepartmental class of people who are studying history, economics, and political science. So they all were there, and I had just written a story, which is coming out, I believe, either tonight or tomorrow. Yeah, I think it's actually tomorrow. About how capitalism, unfettered capitalism, has destroyed the airline industry.
Yeah.
Sarah Nelson to discuss that. But what I discussed was how unfettered capitalism has destroyed the record industry.
Oh, without a doubt. We're going to get to the record industry in a moment. I just want to go through a couple other things. But Trump today lost his latest Hail Mary pass trying to get the E. Jean Carroll $80 million verdict overturned. And it was denied. And Lewis Kaplan, the judge, said it in no uncertain terms, you know. In short, the argument, which Mr. Trump previously made to the jury conspicuously without success and which defies common sense, does not warrant dismissal as a matter of law. Accordingly, Mr. Trump's motions for a new trial and for a judgment as a matter of law are denied. Boom.
You know, Trump gets very angry when someone refers to him as Mr. Trump.
Yes, I know.
You know that, right? He's demanding he be called President Trump.
I know.
No one is.
I know.
Except his own lawyers, who he was forced to pay in advance.
Oh, I bet. Well, yeah, I don't get that this lawyer in the the case going on in New York now, who was apparently a Democrat, who was never a Trumper. Maybe he got paid up front and got a lot of money and said, okay, what the hell? I don't have to work after this.
Yep, he was paid a lot of money up front. And, you know, lawyers are, you know, that's what they're taught from the beginning. It doesn't matter what you think personally. If you take on a case, you do the case and you do as well as you can.
Yes. Yes. No, I agree. There was a bit of just...
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine myself, you know, defending someone like Trump, no matter what. You just pass on that.
No,
something like
absolutely.
That. You could, the lawyers who feel the same way.
Yeah, pay me all the money in the world. I'm not going near that. Plus, you know, the smell. Yeah. I understand it's pretty rancid. Yeah, so there's that.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
He was actually saying that he didn't fart.
Oh, he didn't fart. No, he didn't sleep either. He was praying, don't you know?
No, he finally admitted that he was sleeping.
Oh, did he?
He said it's because it was so boring he couldn't stay awake.
I see. Yeah, you know, your future is on the line, but, you know, it's boring. Sure. Okay. Whatever you say, Donald.
Theories about that. One was that he was coming down from having uppers, and then the other was that they gave him tranquilizers so he wouldn't start yelling and carrying on and making a fool of himself.
Well,
so they were two opposite things, but either of those should cause him to sleep. Although from what I'm hearing is that he sleeps almost every day.
Yeah, no, I've heard that too. Look, you know what? I don't sleep a lot. I have real sleep problems. I would fall asleep in court. It's gotten me out of jury duty before when I'd say I fall asleep in the afternoon. you don't want me as a juror. But if I was on trial, I think I'd stay awake somehow.
I think most people do.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a weird bit of news this morning, Howie. A New York court overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction and ordered a new trial. But he was.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, but you know what? There were others. It wasn't just that one. So he's still in jail for other convictions. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
And why do you know why he got overturned?
Yeah, they said because the judge in that trial, this is what they said, improperly allowed testimony about allegations that were not part of the case. But he's still in prison on a 2022 California rape conviction. So the New York rape conviction might have been overturned and he'll have to have a new trial. But he's still incarcerated because of the California conviction. So Harvey Weinstein's not going anywhere.
Let's hope.
Yeah, we hope. Exactly. But, you know, Howie Klein, I read Down with Tyranny and I saw your piece on Bob Dylan lyrics. And you included me in the email and you asked me.
To be part of it.
I know you did. And I'm like, oh my God, six. I need to find six of my most profound Bob Dylan lyrics. And I'm thinking, okay, it was just before the weekend. I'm like, all right. So I went out, you know, in the garage where I do all my art and stuff. And I immersed myself in Bob Dylan last weekend. And I was like, I put so much pressure on myself and I just couldn't come up with six. There were too many. And then I read your piece today.
Yeah.
I read your piece today, and so I put together some, because the first one that came to mind was a more obscure Bob Dylan song, Not Dark Yet. Shadows are falling. I've been here all day. It's too hot to sleep, and time is running away. I feel like my soul was turned into steel. I still got the scars that the sun didn't heal. There's not even room enough to be anywhere. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. That song, I remember the moment that when that album came out, what album was it? Love and Death, I think. I was so into it. And that song, Not Dark Yet, it's dark. It works on so many levels.
Sure.
And the other ones are kind of, you know, others that anything from Subterranean Homesick Blues. You can just pull a verse out of that. Pick any line. They're all brilliant. Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Oh, come on. Like a Rolling Stone, Blowing in the Wind. I mean, so I did find six, but I thought I had to be like original. I was thinking something from the Desire album, because that album also really resonated with me. And I saw somebody referenced Hurricane in your article. That was another great album.
Yeah.
So Bob Dylan, you know, love him or hate. I have a love-hate relationship with
Bob Dylan.
He's Dylan, right. But I've seen him in concert. I've seen him do one of the best concerts ever, and I've seen him do one of the worst concerts ever. So, yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who they announced their 2024 class. And you asked on a social media site, what do you think? And my response was, they need to change the name of it. It's not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When you have Mary J. Blige, Cher.
Really good artist.
Really good artist. It should be the popular.
Not rock and roll.
No. Cool in the Gang. make it the Popular Music Hall of Fame. And then it's not a problem.
So I was a voter. No, I'm still a vote. I still vote, you know, along with thousands of other people to make this decision. But I used to be on the nominating committee, which was, I don't know, 20 or 30 people. And we would sit around and we would have these endless discussions. But there were enough of us on that committee who kept it rock and roll. And as soon as we left, well, a lot of us left at the same time. As soon as we left, that was it. That was the end.
Yeah.
From there on, it's just a financial thing now.
Right. No, and it's sad. I mean, I saw some of the comments on your thread, and a lot of people weighed in. It's a TV show. But you know what? It's more. I've never been to the Hall of Fame Museum, which I hear is an amazing facility. But expand it then. Make it the Popular Music Hall of Fame. And then you can have Cher and Mary J. Blige. And
they have it anyway.
I know. Just ridiculous.
It is. I mean, it's pathetic, actually, is what it is.
It is. So I had a dilemma. So Neil Young is now on tour with Crazy Horse. And they're playing here this weekend, I think Saturday night. And tickets aren't cheap. And with Neil Young, it's the same thing. I've seen him do shows very accessible with songs I want to hear. And I've seen him do shows that are really obscure that, you know, okay, wouldn't be my choice for a set list. But he started the tour the other night in San Diego, and the set list was great. So now I'm thinking, okay, I want to go. But concert tickets are so expensive now. Have you heard about this new bill that's been introduced?
No, but tell me how much the tickets cost.
Well, the cheap seats, like the lawn seats or in the upper areas, it's $100 a piece. That's the cheapest. The cheapest seat is $100 a piece.
And how about if you actually want to sit in the chair and decent?
I'll pull it up and tell you. But if you want to sit like in the front section.
I'm not saying the very best seats, but you know, a decent seat.
Right. In an orchestra. So this is a big outdoor amphitheater. Apparently he's doing all outdoor venues still, because of COVID, that's what he said. This whole tour is going to be outside. This is a huge place. When I first got to town, I saw Foo Fighters there, and it's one of the biggest sheds I've seen. All right, so I'm pulling it up now. Phoenix Talking Stick Resort Amphitheater, and I'll tell you just random tickets. So say in the middle section, and so there's the pit. There's the 100s, then there's the 200s. So I'll look for one in the 200s. In the 200s, here, I'm not even looking at resale tickets. These are just regular. Okay, standard admission off to the side in the middle section, $169.25. Before taxes. Yeah. It's gotten out of hand, but there's a new bill that was a bipartisan bill, allegedly. I forget what it's called, but it's supposed to stop with the excessive resale, fees put on to concert tickets, because concerts are unaffordable now.
And what do you mean by resale fees? What is that about?
So I'm looking on the Live Nation website, right? And you could see when you look at the seating chart, I wonder if I could bring it up here. I'll show you, or I'll show, people who are listening. So here's the Live Nation seating chart. The seats, the dots in red, those are available seats that are for resale. The ones in green are available through the venue. So these green seats over here to the left, section 202, row NN, $169.25. The resale tickets, resale at $213.53, just in the next section over. So, and the other thing that they did, and this...
Explain what a resale ticket is. I can guess what it is, but I'd like to know.
Somebody buys tickets And then for whatever reason, they can't go. And so they want to resell them, or they're buying up as many as they can, thinking, I'm going to make a quick profit on this. Either way, it's somebody bought the tickets. And now through Ticketmaster or Live Nation or StubHub or some other group puts them up for resale and makes a profit. That used to be called scalping.
Yeah.
Right.
Not anymore?
I guess not. It's resale and they're allowed to. That's what this law allegedly will fix. Now, the other thing that happened that pissed off a lot of Springsteen fans, myself included, when I got shut out the first time when tickets went on sale, is because they do this dynamic pricing. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, so you...
Like AI got involved.
Yes. So it kind of is. So you go into the queue in Ticketmaster or wherever, tickets go on sale, and the higher the demand is, the prices automatically go up. So there's no set ticket price for, you know, section 202, row 5, where normally they'd be $75, but now because demand is so high, they're charging upwards of $500 a ticket. And they're getting it for Springsteen, for Taylor Swift. You know, I got lucky with Springsteen. I only saw him in Florida because he was at the Hard Rock, which is owned by the Seminole tribe. And my sister teaches with the wife of one of the elders in the tribe, and he had tickets that he gave to her. That's how I saw him in Florida. And here, I just happened to log on at the right time when they put some behind the stage nosebleed seats on sale for face value. And for Springsteen, that was $75. So I bought them, but I went back on the next day and those same seats were for sale for $150 each.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and for most of your life, weren't you sitting in really good seats?
Really good seats. And better than that, I didn't pay for them. For most of my life, I didn't have to pay for concert tickets. So now, you know, I'm poor. You know, I struggle to make ends meet each month. And you know me, I love music, but I don't have access to free tickets for the most part anymore. And so I'm very particular. I'm going to see the Pretenders when they come through. Chrissy Hynde. You know, look, all these people, it's their last... I think their last gasp. I'm going to see Chrissy Hynde. I'm going to see Sarah McLachlan. We're going to see Tedeschi Trucks. And I would love to see Neil Young, but I don't know that I can justify it. I can't justify the money.
Huh.
Yeah. It's sad. It really is sad because it's the one thing, you know, one entertainment thing that I will spend money on if I have it. it's too bad. So, good old days. I long for the good old days in some respects. Now, you were saying that, you know, capitalism destroyed the music industry. It is, but it's more than that.
Unfettered capitalism.
Unfettered capitalism. And consolidation, which is what destroyed the radio industry.
And the airline industry.
And the book industry and every industry, right? I thought we had antitrust laws, but we have monopolies everywhere.
Yeah, or at least functional monopolies.
Uh-huh. Kathy Turner, it's S3457, the Fans First Act. And that's what's being introduced, Fans First Act. Let me see if I can pull it up and see what it includes.
And let me know who the sponsor is, the primary sponsor.
Let's see. Klobuchar is supporting it. Let's see. Over 250 artists, including Billie Eilish, Cyndi Lauper, Green Day, and more, signed this open letter, which urges the Senate Commerce Committee's consideration of the Fans First Act to improve consumer protections and transparency in ticket sales. Let's see. Who else is behind it? Klobuchar and John Cornyn. That's your bipartisan people in front. Other co-sponsors include Marsha Blackburn, Ben Ray Lujan, Roger Wicker, Peter Welch, Cindy Hyde-Smith, and Mark Kelly. So it's a wide variety of senators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, there's nothing political about it.
No. No. And look, it came to the forefront with Springsteen tickets and Taylor Swift, because the same thing happened with these dynamic ticket pricing. If you got in to the queue to buy tickets, by the time you got in, because the demand was so great, the prices where for Springsteen, his cap was always like $100. I mean, his tickets were always affordable. And this time he just went with it because everyone else was doing it. And he pissed off a lot of fans. But tickets, if you got in through, you know, you're going through the regular channels and then you're presented with a $1,000 checkout to buy a pair of tickets to a concert. I don't think so. But a lot of people did. So, yeah. Yep. I'm thinking that on Saturday night, David and I should just drive to the venue and see if there are some of these scalpers out there who just want to get some money back and get a pair of tickets for, you know, less than they paid for it.
And is this for the Springsteen one?
No, that's for Neil Young. Yeah, that's for Neil Young. Springsteen's already gone. Yeah, for Neil Young. Yeah. Because you know what? He's doing Powderfinger. He's doing Cortez the Killer. He's really doing Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. I mean, I looked up the set list from the opening night, and it was like, Down by the River. Yeah, I want to see that. It's never enough. I could go to a four-hour Neil Young concert, and it wouldn't be enough. But, yeah. Yeah.
I think that your plan is a good one to go and see if you can get tickets at the last minute.
If not, sit outside as people do because it's an outdoor place and the sound wafts and we'll go, you know, bring a pizza or something and sit outside and listen to the music. it beats, watching a rerun of the listening to a tape of the Supreme Court arguments.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, so I did read your piece, Howie, about how you're not watching or really paying much attention to the Trump trial. There comes a time you got to turn away. It's like the train wreck. You don't want to look, but you look, but you wish you hadn't.
And it's everywhere, and I don't want to write about it, and I keep writing about it anyway, even though I don't want to.
Right.
And the other thing I tried to avoid was the campus stuff.
Yeah. Oh God, it's bad. And people are so misinformed.
Either I couldn't. I tried, and I got sucked into it.
I'm trying to stay away from it, because that's when we say Moscow Marge, and now all of a sudden Mike Johnson is getting praise. People say maybe he's good at his job.
Well, he immediately tried to capitalize on the thing at Columbia. He went there with a camera crew to get booed.
Yeah.
And they booed him, and he made a little an ad that I'm sure will be running.
Oh, I have no doubt. Politics is you know, wait, I got to find that. Here's a note to go out on. Shepard Smith, who used to be on Fox, said one thing that I kept, if I can find it. Now I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Here we go. This is Shep Smith.
Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
Yeah, it is and it does. And on that note, Howie Klein, I'm going to go back and listen to more Bob Dylan. Thanks to you.
Yeah, wonderful. Listen to, Bob Dylan's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
And what else? What were you going to say I should listen to?
People have been sending me these cover songs that are fantastic as well. I heard one the other day. I can't remember the name of the artist. I'd never heard of him before, but it was a song. He did a version of I and I, and it was so much better than Dylan's version. And it was and not just better than Dylan's version. It was also incredibly good.
Ooh, yeah, good music is great. And look, the weekend, we have tomorrow. Marcy Wheeler's here Friday. It's my easy day because she has all the info. I just ask questions. And then I'm in weekend mode, and I go into music. I turn off the TV. I turn off the news. I create things, and I long. I live for weekends these days. So, and maybe Neil Young. Maybe Neil Young. I'll let you know next week if we go.
Well, good luck.
All right. Thank you. All right. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. And while you're there, visit the Blue America page and help support the progressive candidates that Blue America endorsed so we get, you know, decent representation in Congress.
We did well with Summer Lee. We did really well.
Yeah, Summer Lee won and won big. It wasn't not even close. And she was targeted by, you know, an AIPAC-supported conservative.
Well, Jeffrey Yaz, who's the richest oligarch in Pennsylvania, spent almost $1 million against her. And she still won something like 61-39,
wow,
which is very, very good.
Yeah, good for her. I'm glad to hear it. So, all right. Onward to another day. We're almost at the end of this week, thank goodness. Howie Klein, always a pleasure. I'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Thanks, you too. by. Yes, we get close to the weekend. I'm already thinking about, okay, estate sales in the morning, art and music in the afternoon, and maybe music at night. See, that's how I can keep my sanity, such as it is. All right, Marcy Wheeler tomorrow. Don't forget. I'll see you then. Peace out.